Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Probably the lowest point of King David's life was when he had to flee from Jerusalem because his own son was seeking his life. And how this came to happen is a story all unto itself, but briefly, what happened was it goes back to David's sin with Bathsheba, if you want to trace it back to its roots. One of the things that the prophet Nathan told David was that as a result or a consequence of his sin, that the sword would not depart from his house. And then right after this happened, you began to see things not go quite so well for King David from that point on. Although God forgave him and God was continued to be with him, but he nevertheless had to suffer the consequences for the sin that he committed. What happened that led to this particular event was that one of David's sons, David had many wives, as we know from Scripture. One of his sons was Amnon, and he was infatuated with one of his half-sisters, Tamar. He had a friend who was not a very good guy who advised him how he could try to seduce her, and he pretended to be sick and asked when his father came to check on him if his sister could take care of him, and his father agreed to the wish, and then as soon as they were alone, he attempted to rape her, and she pled with him that he would not shame her in this way, but he didn't listen to her pleas, and he went ahead and he raped her, and then we're told that after he raped her, the infatuation that he had, or what he thought was love, turned to hate. And he despised her, and then he kicked her out of his room, and she said, "Now you've shamed me even worse than you did before." And you'd have to understand the culture of that time to understand that in our culture. We want to be getting out of there as quickly as we could, but that was a different culture. When King David found out about this, we're told that he was very displeased, but he didn't do anything about it. And this is something that we all have to be careful about. It's always a temptation that when we have problems that require action, that we choose the path of least resistance and we try to find some way to really not deal with the problem, and that's what King David did in this case. He really didn't punish his son. And Tamar had a full-blooded brother, Absalom, who deeply resented what was done to his sister, and so he plotted to kill Amnon, and he successfully did so. And then King David was angry with him, and he exiled him for some period of time, but then he missed his son, and so eventually he asked for him to return. But Absalom, unfortunately, was not reconciled with his father. He resented his father for the fact that he didn't do what he really should have done with his brother and the incident that happened with his sister. So he began to plot on how he would overthrow his father. And he would sit outside the palace, and when people would come to the king with a problem, we're told that he would say, "Well, unfortunately, the king is too busy to hear you. It's too bad that there's not someone in the kingdom, you know, because you have a legitimate plea. I'd be more than happy to help you out if I had the power to do it. But unfortunately, there's no such person." So over time, he gradually, with these kinds of machinations, won people over to him, and his father was totally oblivious to this until one day, he sprang his plot, and he actually began to attempt to take over the kingdom. And when David and his commander became aware of what was going on and how many people that Absalom had with him, his commander said, "Look, the only course of action here is for you to flee Jerusalem, go out into the country, and then let's see what we can do from there." So he did so. And in that flight, Psalm 142 originated. Psalm 142, 143 in the King James or other contemporary editions of the Bible that are not based on the Septuagint, is one of the six Psalms. And we'll get to the point as to why it's done at Matins. Matins is a morning service. That's what the word in Latin means, Matins. And in Russian practice, in a parish level, we typically only do Matins as part of a vigil, and so it's done in the evening. And so you could get the mistaken impression that this is an evening service, but if you pay attention to the words, you know that when you get into Matins, there's continual references to the fact that it is, in fact, a morning service. and in weekday services it usually is served early in the morning. The psalm begins, "O Lord, hear my prayer, give ear unto my supplication and my truth. Hearken unto me in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified." When he says, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man shall be living shall be justified," he's acknowledging the fact that he himself has sinned, and that apart from God's grace and forgiveness, there's no way that he could stand up to God's judgment. But nevertheless, he's praying to God, and he's appealing to God's truth and to his righteousness in this particular matter, because in this particular matter he was in the right, his son was in the wrong, and he was appealing to God's justice, which St. John Chrysostom points out is not simple justice like human justice, but God's justice is always mixed with loving kindness. "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath humbled my life down to the earth. He has sat me in darkness as those that have long been dead, and my spirit within me has become despondent. Within me my heart is troubled." Here David's reflecting on the sorry state that he's found himself in, and he's fallen into despondency. And that's a feeling that we often fall into ourselves when things are not going well with us. That's one of the reasons why the Psalms are so important for us to pray regularly, because the whole range of human experience and emotions are covered in the Psalms. And this is an example of how we should be honest with God. We shouldn't always, even though we know we're not supposed to be despondent, the fact is that we sometimes fall into that. And we shouldn't act as if that's not true in our prayers and just present the positive face of a happy Christian that we might think that God expects from us. Because God already knows the problems that we have. And when we bear our problems before the Lord, that's how we begin to allow God to deal with it. Also on this, St. Basil points out how King David says that his heart was troubled within him, but not outwardly. In other words, he says that he makes his doubt subject to his faith. He said, this is a quote, he says, "Make your passions honor your reason, as an unruly boy respects the presence of a venerable man." In other words, you have these troubles, but you know that God will take care of you. That's what your mind tells you. And your faith tells you. And so you have to subject this doubt that you have to the faith and to your reason. "I remembered days of old, I meditated on all thy works, I pondered on the creation of thy hands." He remembers the many miracles that God has worked in his own life, but also in the life of the people of Israel. St. Paul says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And in Romans 15, verse 4, he says, "For whatever things were written before in the Scriptures were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." That's one of the reasons why it's so important that we regularly read the Scriptures, because when we read the Scriptures, we see how God has acted in the past. And when we meditate on the Scriptures, and when we ponder the Scriptures, and we allow them to sink down into our heart, they help to build up our faith, because we know if God was that way in the past, He is going to be that way in the future as well. "I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee like a waterless land." This is imagery that you often find throughout the Psalter, and as I've mentioned before, Palestine is a very dry land, so the imagery of a dry land is something that was a very vivid thing to the people there. And like a waterless land that can't come to life except by rain, our souls should long for the grace and mercy of God, because only He can satisfy our need. Only He can give us spiritual life. "Quickly hear me, O Lord, for my spirit hath fainted away. Turn not thy face away from me, lest I be like unto them that go down to the pit." His situation is desperate, and he's asking for speedy help. "Cause me to hear thy mercy in the morning, for in thee have I put my hope." This verse is the reason why it's one of the six psalms that matters, because all the six psalms make allusions to mourning, so this is a mourning prayer. King David was praying in the darkness of the night, waiting for the dawn, and he's praying that when the light of the morning shines, that God would answer his prayer. "Cause me to know, O Lord, the way wherein I should walk, for unto thee have I lifted up my soul." He's asking that God would guide him in the straight path, that God would give him the wisdom to know how to deal with the problems that beset him. And because unto thee he's lifted up his soul, he's hoping that God will do this. Rescue me from mine enemies, O Lord. Unto thee have I fled for refuge. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. In these last four petitions, we find that he makes the request, but then he gives the reasons why he has hope that God will listen. Cause me to hear thy mercy in the morning, for in thee have I hoped, have I put my hope. Cause me to know, Lord, the way where I should walk, for unto thee have I lifted up my soul. Rescue me from mine enemies, Lord. Unto thee have I fled for refuge. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. So because he's put his hope in God, he's lifted up his soul to God, and he's fled for refuge to God, and that this is his God, that he's faithful to him, he has faith that God will answer all these prayers and that God will guide him through this difficult time. Thy good spirit shall lead me in the land of uprightness. For thy name's sake, O Lord, shalt thou quicken me. In thy righteousness shalt thou bring my soul out of affliction. And in thy mercy shalt thou utterly destroy mine enemies. And thou shalt cut off all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. I don't think it's accidental that this is the last of the six psalms, because this is the psalm that sort of sets our way into the morning. And it's a prayer that God would give us his spirit to lead us in the land of uprightness. St. Bede, an English saint, had said this: let us entreat the help and the grace of this spirit in all our actions, dearly beloved. Let us all individually and collectively say to the Lord, let thy good spirit lead me in the right way. And so it will come to pass that the one who came down upon the apostles and declared to them the things that were to come may disclose also to our minds the joys of this life to come. May he kindly set us on fire to seek these joys with the cooperation of the one who is accustomed both to promise and to give unto his faithful, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever. Amen.